Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Kachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code FITNESS.
And welcome everybody. I still can't believe you got that on the faded Chicago weekend that I wasn't available, unfortunately. Thanks everybody for.
You never know what you get until you just ask. I mean,
yeah, got to go to the stadium. I don't know. You kind of trailed our buddy TJ. I don't know how you got in, but he got in. You kind of just went with him. So, and then you met Richie Sexton, right?
Yeah, we did meet Johnny Sexton.
I mean Johnny Sexton.
yeah, so it was quite a
come
day.
Come on, lads. Come on.
I got an Irish legend. Kids under 3, dude. You're lucky I'm here at 9:15 at night.
Listen, Wilco, we sniff jocks and do all kinds of kissing up to people as much as we can on the rugby rant. So yeah, it was quite a day. Unfortunately, the hammer dropped. I dropped the ball and Dan Falcon just by accident was left out to tend to the car. I still feel bad about that. Sorry, Dano. I love you. So anyway, let's get going with the rugby rant. We're talking about the future, not the past. So yes. Let's get after it, Scotty.
So So it's funny, we get access to guys. Obviously, Brandon has been a friend of the rant for a long time. This might even be like his 5th appearance, 6th appearance. He's director of rugby for MLR currently. We also have Wilco, David Wilkinson. He's the MLR director of referees here. We're here to talk about the new system for on-field refereeing, the ISRO, Rob.
Well, yeah, it's the referee review system, and one of the components, there are several components, and we'll let these gentlemen talk a little bit about it. We have some graphics up here for visualization for those folks that are watching on Facebook or YouTube or on their favorite social media platform with visuals. But there are several major components, and we've invited both these gentlemen to talk about the respective lanes. First on the operational side, Brandon Sparks, of course, director of rugby, but on the actual practicality side, implementation side, and the execution side on field, we've asked the MLR director of rugby referees, David Wilkinson, just to talk about the referee review system and how it's going to play out, or how they hope it'll play out in 2026.
No plan survives first contact. So once we go live for week one, I guess we'll see if it'll start to work.
That's right. Well, or if you want to digress just a little bit, it's what Mike Tyson said. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So we'll see what happens. But let's talk a little bit about this, gentlemen. I think there's one big piece that I want to ask Sparksy about first before we get deep into the weeds with Wilco. And from what I've gathered from this and ferreted out, there are really 3 key components and overarching pieces to the rationale of why the league has engaged in a new system. Accuracy, timeliness, and transparency. Real quick, and maybe it's not quick, I don't know, but what prompted the shift and change from TMO to what's now called RRS?
Yeah, this probably started, it's got to be close to almost 10 months ago now, right, Wilco? Yeah, it was a minute. He and I met in Salt Lake in our office, and we did this whiteboard session. We said, okay, like, if we were to make the game of rugby, you know, better, what would we do? And one of the areas that we looked at was like the TMO. I think a lot of credit needs to be given to David, because the refereeing in the MLR has significantly improved since his appointment. And we have these really good young referees that are on the verge of breaking through and doing some big things globally. So when we were looking at it, we're like, okay, like, how can we empower them to referee their own game and make their own impacts and make their own decisions? And then we started just looking at other sports. We started, I think, with the NFL, and then we went to cricket, and then we went to netball. Like, we Googled, we talked to, we watched YouTube videos. We did anything that we could to educate ourselves on what other sports were doing. And like, while I asked the question, I think it's important that we really highlight that, like, you know, credit needs to be given to David, because this is a large portion of this is his brainchild, where he looked at this challenge of like, yeah, this is a great challenge. Let's see what we can do. Let's see how I can impact the game globally. And we've come to this. You know, and we're confident that it's going to work out. Like, we're not foolish enough to think it's going to be perfect the first go around. But yeah, it's important too to understand that we went back to the teams, we went back to the coaches, we went back to the GMs, their feedback on it. So we felt like the feedback was robust enough that what we put forward is going to benefit the game as a whole in a better way.
I love that. And one of the things that we'll talk a little bit about later on is the fact that you got buy-in from different aspects of our MLR universe, right? You talked about coaches, you talked about players, you talked about owners and GMs, all having a stake and a piece of this, so that they felt included and felt like it was not just being dictated, but that there was a lot of buy-in from all aspects. We'll get into that a little bit. One of the things I want to ask both of you, and Wilco, maybe you can elaborate, because you're pretty in touch with world rugby, probably on a very consistent basis, is, you know, we know world rugby likes to trial laws, and they want to see certain laws trialed in various domestic leagues before they full-fledged implement them at the international level. Is this process being watched by world rugby?
Yes, in an absolute nutshell, yes. Listen, to bring it back, where Sparksy sort of challenged me when we did a review and went, like, how can we make our game and our product better in MLR? Obviously, the TMO referee issues that we've had over the last however many years came to the fore. I think last season we had something like 97 what we call high impact decisions, and I think 83 of those 97 were in somehow related to TMO. So Sparksy sort of challenged me and was like, well, okay, how do you make it better, Wilco? What do you want to do? I'll back you. What do you want to do? So I sort of probably reverse engineered this whole process, and I started off with where I wanted to end up. And where I wanted to end up was, the referee is the referee. The referee is there to make refereeing decisions. The referee is the captain of the ship. Yes, they've got ARs, they've got 4, 5, 6 on the sideline, etc. But the referee is ultimately the one that blows the whistle or does not blow the whistle. And that's ultimately where I came from. So that's probably a long-winded answer to your question, are World Rugby interested in this? I think World Rugby have been involved in this from the very, very start. I'm sure Sparks, you will tell you the story, but yeah, listen, it probably goes back to last summer, last July, August, September, when we first initially started having conversations with those key stakeholders in World Rugby, they've been kept in the loop all along. Yeah,
and we know, well, quite frankly, one of the most famous, if not the most famous referee in World Rugby, who's not actually officiating, Nigel Owens in retirement. He talks a lot about TMO and has some concerns, so it'll be interesting to see his take on this.
Since the dawn of Major League Rugby, we've all experienced TMO. The waiting, the silence. But in 2026, everything changes. Here's Nigel Owens in a bubble bath to explain.
Major League Rugby thinks it's time to make a change. For too long, the game has diluted the power of the referees, slowing down the pace of play. Major League Rugby is introducing the referee review system, putting the power back on the field. No more TMO. No more wasted play, stopping time. No more standing around. MLR, empowering the referee to referee. The on-field review system, new in 2026, and only with the MLR. Rugby, as it should be.
Nevertheless, moving forward, I love the idea, Wilco. I was a wrestling official for 16 years, and at the end of the day, I think one of the overarching emphasis was that when you're on the whistle, you're on the whistle, you're in charge. You guide and direct everything. You might have an assistant referee that's helping you, but at the end of the day, you know, even when you have those conversations, it's your call to make that interpretation of the law and then establish what the call is, explain it to one or both coaches, and then move forward. And I think that's a fair, I think that looking over this, it's a fair representation what's here. Scott, if we could put up that video graphic and kind of move to the second slide, if you wouldn't mind, because there are a few touch points that I want to ask both these gentlemen about as we forge ahead and get deep into the weeds about this. So here it is. We have the accuracy, timeliness, and transparency. And I want to ask you guys a little bit about how this new system kind of represents or you believe will accomplish each. But moving forward, what I'm interested in is this piece here. We got three elements that I think speak to those pieces. Number one, on-field referee team. So talk about this team element, David, if you would. Just how is you talked about the referee being the center. How does this system enhance that or at least maintain that man in the middle idea?
Very simple. Two aspects. One, if I compare it to last season in MLR, where we didn't have pitside monitors, we didn't have big screens available to the referees. So the referee was being almost led totally blind by a TMO. That's not to say the TMO was incorrect, but the referee, right, who is the boss of the match officiating team, was being led by somebody and telling them what to do without them actually seeing the actual footage or the replays or the images or the head contact or whether it was a try or not. So the on-field team now is completely and utterly captained by the referee. So he or she will actually, if they ask to go to review, they are the ones that are looking at the footage. They're the ones that are reviewing this. They're the ones that are making the decision. They're also the ones that are in the heat, absolute heat of battle. They're in the middle of Quincy with 5,000 crazy New England fans screaming.
Yes, they are crazy.
apologies to New England fans. But they are the ones in that heat of battle when the pressure's on. So they also get a sense of what the game needs. I think the best referees in the world can take an isolated incident and put it also in context. Yes, we've, of course, we've got the laws of the game, but you have to put it in context. And somebody who's not there, somebody who's 2,000 kilometers away, I'm not sure they can do that. So again, go back to that reverse engineering. We want the referee, that on-field referee team, we want the referee to absolutely and utterly lead that side of things. Does that make sense?
100%. I love that idea, and I could go on and on about my experience with that concept as it applies to other sports. But we got to focus on this because I know you guys have a limited amount of time. Let's speak to this in-stadium replay operator here, what's going to be called the ISRO. Sparksy, can you just talk a little bit about how functionally this is going to work in stadium and how it's going to work in concert with the man in the middle or the woman in the middle?
Yeah, and I think like this is where my performance background kind of interjected itself here. Is if you're looking at this setup as it's laid out here, and by the way, guys, this is phenomenal. We actually probably should borrow these graphics from you, as it would save us both some time.
I can be paid in quality kit.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some kit for you. So, but no, like if you look in the coaching boxes, this setup already exists. There's usually an analyst sitting to the right of the coach. The coach is able to lean over that analyst and say, hey, listen, can you go back and look at that? Tell me what you saw, or let me look at it, so on and so forth. So as we were having the discussion, we're like, well, what if we just put an analyst for the referee right there? And the more we thought about it, the more we talked about it, we're like, that would make sense. More importantly, the performance teams inside the MLR are already living inside of huddle. And a lot of credit needs to be given to huddle as well, too, because we came to them with this crazy idea. And we say, hey, listen, we think that we maybe could potentially change the game with this, but we need somebody that has the concept technology wise to support it. And credit to them. It was Jason Lynn and Ben Cotton. They were like, yeah, we're in. Let's figure it out. And Rob, I think you saw me in the tunnel last year. I think you saw me in the tunnel last year testing this in Chicago. And I told you it was an HIA test. Well, it wasn't really an HIA test.
We were actually you dirty dog.
Yeah. So yeah, like, you know, you're talking to ISRO number one here inside of the league. But more importantly, like, there's some really sharp rugby minds out there in creating this opportunity for some of them to now be a part of the game, maybe not in a coaching capacity, maybe not in a playing capacity, maybe not in a refereeing capacity entirely, but these good rugby people that are now supporting more good rugby people who are intelligent and making big impacts and calls in game. So yeah, those ISROs are going to be critical, and they're going to be well trained, but they're going to be the right people.
I love a lot about this as I've looked through it and reviewed what's been sent. One of the things that I think is critical that you brought up that I didn't know is the role of huddle. And here's why I love this. And Scott, you can speak to this. You know it, right? You live inside that universe. Like, huddle is something that's at the foundation of a lot of sports, especially high school and youth sports, for a lot of coaches. So I think that there's going to be a natural connection for many fans that they'll understand where the technology comes from, because they're already using it. And I think that's a subtle but appreciable difference for those who are in the stands or who are watching at home. So kudos to you guys about finding the right system that's going to really make sense in a lot of different ways. I'm going to ask both of you guys in respective lanes about this next piece, this third piece, the match review coordinator. First, I'm going to go back to Wilco here. Obviously, the point here is to continuously review the process to enhance it, to make sure it's of quality and it's working in the way in which you guys have envisioned. So walk us through, like, let's say there is a review that happens. Maybe it's controversial, hopefully not, but sometimes rugby doesn't get too far from little controversy from time to time. But what is the back end of one of these reviews going to look like from your side of things as an official and as the director of officials?
Yeah, listen, as much as we're putting the power in, back in the hands of the referees to referee, with that power comes serious responsibility and comes serious accountability. Listen, Sparksy knows obviously from our season last year in terms of how much analysis we actually do in terms of the referees. All of that will continue, but I think we've got to add in, when we look at last season, 97 high impact decisions, 83 issues. Well, we've seriously got to reduce that. And there is absolutely no doubt the pressure is on the referees. This whole system is designed to put the power back in their hands. That's great, so long as they get the decision right. And ultimately, I suppose this is where Sparksy really backed me up. I think he's going to take care of the technical side of things, making sure that, you know, the camera feeds work and the huddle works and that side of things. And ultimately, it's my job to make sure that the referees make the right decision. Are they going to 100% of the time? Absolutely not. No referee does. But that's our goal. And when we come to our preseason camp in Atlanta, I will be laying down that challenge to the referees, particularly around this system, because they do have the ability to stand, take a deep breath, watch the replays, multiple angles because of the ISRO being able to pull those up for them. And they should get the decision right. Now, if they get the process right and their judgment is wrong, then ultimately that's on me to train those referees to get their judgment right. But I'm hoping that the referees that we have and the panel that we've got coming into 2026 are well experienced and they should get that judgment right. But back to the review coordinator, I mean, effectively, that is myself and Brandon here. And ultimately, we have to look at it from two sides. One, are the referees getting the decisions right? Secondly, is the technology working? And that's ultimately what it's about.
Well, yeah, if they're not getting the views, how are they going to be able to make that informed decision? But also, this is, you know, and this is just from a fan perspective, you guys might appreciate this. If you win by 50, it doesn't matter what the referee's calling at the end of the match. And that's kind of what I give back sometimes when people complain about, oh, well, the referee made this decision, and to me it was clear and obvious. And I was like, but also, you haven't even taken a level one referee course. So let's, you know, kind of back off.
Shut your pie hole.
I'll jump in there, Scott. I mean, you're right. I mean, ultimately, if it's 50-whatever, the referee hasn't had an impact on the result. That doesn't mean they have got all the decisions correct.
Correct.
Doesn't excuse the referees from making mistakes. And it relies on me in terms of coming in and educating and coaching those referees to ensure that in a 2022 game, that they do get those same decisions correct. And that's what it's about. So regardless of score, our analysis and reviews of referees are fairly, fairly ruthless, I've got to be honest.
And 100%, you have to. Sorry, Brandon. You have to hold them accountable and to show them what, you know, what, and ask them what. Can you remember what you were thinking when you made that call? Because, you know, maybe the interpretation is correct, and they just, you know, you make a split second decision and kind of flip that switch for whatever reason. So no, I 100% agree. I just, from a fan standpoint, when people complain about it, well, if you won by three tries, that last minute decision that went against you, you know, whether it was offsides inside your 5 meters or whatever, what have you, wouldn't have made a difference. But you're right. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have an effective percentage of whatever your guys' metric is of saying, okay, a referee should get 89% of their calls right. I'm just throwing out a number.
And like to your point about the fan perspective, like we made sure that we looked at it through that lens as well too. Like how can we make the game more accessible to the people that support us? Like we both of us don't usually use the word fan. We'll say supporter because we feel that it carries a much more passionate and invested tone. But one thing that won't get any fanfare like this RRS has gotten is the high impact decision tracker. We looked at the NBA, and the NBA has the 2 minute report at the end of games. You can go on their website. You can look at all the official decision makings in the last 2 minutes of every game that's played in the NBA. And we said, hey, wouldn't that be cool to apply that to the MLR? And again, credit to Wilco. Like he runs that referee group like an actual high performance team, where we can say I will say that's compassionately ruthless. I think he used the word ruthless, but it's compassionately ruthless because he does a very good job of honoring the human element. But at the end of the day, we are in a performance business. But now fans are going to be able to kind of peek behind that curtain a little bit and look at those high impact decisions, look at that tracker on the website and gain some more understanding about how they're actually coaching these referees to be better referees.
So I have a question. Have you guys thought of maybe taking one of those high impact decisions and doing just a weekly 5 minute breakdown? You know, like it's just to say, hey, you know, director of referees, you know, this is what the call was. It was correct because of this, this, and this. I'm not saying throw somebody under the bus about it, but take a high impact decision that was correct and say, this is why it was correct. And to give that education, because I feel one of the things that is lacking from the league is advanced education. You know, rugby 101 is something I feel can be taught through fans, but some of that, the advanced knowledge and those interpretations of what those laws are when you get to law 15.2.7.8B, you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what we're missing, because if you look at the Big Four, so many supporters are so entrenched in the minutia of the details that, you know, a lot of supporters in the Big Four are actually correct when they spew out a law, you know, yeah. Versus, you know, some even guys who've been playing, women who've been playing 20 or 30 years, their interpretation is it, so.
Yes, so, I think you probably gather by Brandon and my reaction to that. Absolutely. This is something we're doing. This is something we are going to do. This is something we've done a couple of concepts around in terms of how it's going to look. But the reality is, certainly from my perspective as director of referees, yes, of course, I will protect my referees and I will defend my referees. But you can't defend the indefensible, all right? So that's something I will never do. And actually, if I can use a mistake by a referee, not only to educate the referee and all the other referees, but to educate the referee, to the rugby fan base or the rugby support base across the USA, then why wouldn't we do that? This isn't the director referees throwing the referees under the bus that they've made a mistake. This is about the director referees trying to educate all the other referees, not just in MLR and USA Rugby and Rugby Canada and anywhere else, everywhere else across the globe, as well as all our supporters and all our fans, to educate them around the game. So that is definitely something that we will be doing in 2026.
I mean, what prompted Sparks to ask you to come on, Wilco, and then ultimately land us here having this conversation was he and I were going back and forth, and he said, hey, did you see the Holly Davidson call in the match, the Six Nations match between Ireland and Italy? It was the 51st minute. I went back because of his prompting and had a look. Basically, for fans that haven't seen it, go back and take a look. But it looks to like a forward pass. The ball is passed out to the right. I forgot who the player, Lemoncello, I think, or something like that, passed to the right prior to the 22, but the ball is received by Lina once he's crossed the 22. So without getting too deep into the minutiae, how might – let's take that scenario and situation where she calls a try – but gets a call from the TMO, if I'm not mistaken, and that causes the review. How would this system, the RRS, how would this look fundamentally different in that situation?
Rob, brilliant question, brilliant example. And actually, I had an almighty row with one of my best mates in the world that I've known since I was 13 years of age. And he was like, it was past one side of the line. It was caught the other. It's a mile forward, blah, 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 blah. Firstly, yeah, great example. That pass was not forward. And the TMO in that instance then interjected himself into the game where this season, coming into MLR 2026, we will not have a referee interjecting. So let's say Holly was refereeing at MLR and Holly was doing that game and exactly the same thing happened. Holly would award the score to Italy because ultimately Italy went on to score, was brought back. Holly would award the score. Now, if Holly or the two ARs had no question to go back and review that pass, nothing would happen. The conversion would happen and we'd be back in halfway, ready for a restart. No interjection. A slight thing in terms of the teams may challenge that, and they may do. But even if the teams challenge it, we no longer have a TMO telling Holly Davison what has happened. We are now going to have the MLR version of Holly Davison, whether it be Luke Rogan, Derek Summers, Emilia Luciano, whoever, they are going to be looking at that screen and they are going to be making the decision. Nice. So one, we don't have that TMO coming down. We only have the referee going up. And when the referee goes up, inverted commas, when the referee goes up to have a review, it's only the referee making the decision, nobody else.
So interestingly, I thought in that scenario, in that matchup between Italy and Ireland, didn't the AR come over to Holly and say, hey, we might want to look at this? Maybe I got that wrong, but I thought I saw that. And then that's what prompted the review.
Honestly, I'm not sure whether the AR or not.
Okay.
But if the AR does come over, the referee can then decide for him or herself. No, listen, I was perfectly positioned there. And they're thinking out loud, if I review that, I'm going to see nothing different to what I saw at the time. But then they go, oh, well, okay, I got bumped. I was out of position. Maybe I will review it. But either way, it still comes back and falls firmly on the shoulders of the referee to make that decision. And if we compare that to last season, as I've already mentioned, you had a situation where the TMO was telling the referee what happened. And I think the referee should be the leader of this of the match officiating team, and that for sure. That is the ultimately that's the big change here.
So I have a question about foul play. Like, let's say there's foul play behind the play. Obviously, the ARs and the person in the middle are up front. Is there going to be any initiation if there's dangerous play? Maybe after, you know, at the next break or at any point in that because they couldn't see it.
We're getting into the weeds of this now. We really are, Scott. Thanks. First of all, we want the match officials, whether that's referee AR1, AR2, we want them to make strong on-field decisions. I give you a really good example. Luke Rogan in the under-26 Nations refereed Ireland against Italy. There was a no-arms tackle. He just went, that's a no-arms tackle. Bang. Yellow card. Off you go. No TMO. No wasting time. Just, I am the boss. I am in control. I saw that. That's what happened. We want to do that around the referees and the ARs. So I would much rather an AR come in. It sounds ridiculous because it's not that long ago, but it happened when I was still out there. Old school. Flag out. Foul play. I have a high tackle against blue number 4. It's above the line of the shoulders. It's with force. It's a yellow card. Bye. Deal with it. But we also have to be, again, to go back to Sparksy's point around the integrity of the competition, we also have to be accurate. So if there is a doubt, whether it's penalty yellow or yellow red, then between the three match officials, they can do this referee-initiated review where they can then ask for that footage to be brought up. The referee will go over to the pitch side monitor, almost Premier League soccer style, go over, take a look at it, and go, bang. There was no foul play, or, oh, I missed that. That is head contact. That is a 20-minute red card. Off you go. And they will make that decision.
So functionally, it sounds like this is going to operate in much the same way that the NFL does when they review where the official comes over to the telestrator and actually, you know, he kind of puts his hands around it to block out the sun and has a look on the screen for him or herself. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Perfect. In a nutshell. Yep.
Okay,
We're also going to feature some games where we'll be able to project it on the big screen in stadiums as well. So this is the first iteration of what we think it's going to look like. But as the league grows and as we grow operationally, we will make it more accessible to the fans or supporters. Sorry.
All right. So, awesome. So go ahead.
I was going to talk. So the second type of referral, mm-hmm. how they're going to do it is you mentioned the team challenge. It has to be within two phases of play. And the team is going to throw a challenge flag like they do in the NFL. Now, this may sound ridiculous, but, you know, in the laws of our game and the gentlemanliness of our game, you know, Bill Belichick has been known to really throw that flag in a sassy, sassy manner, a manner in which I think the middle official might even say, hey, that might be a penalty. Has that been thought of as you talk about these team challenges in the flag? Because I have to be honest, I could see a coach really just winging that flag at the middle official at some point if they're angry.
Yes, and I suppose there's one major difference from where we are to where NFL is, and I'll throw this back to you, Scott. Where is Bill Belichick and a New England Patriots game? Where's he standing?
Well, sideline, yeah.
And where are our MLR coaches?
That's true, up in the booth.
So That's not to say that their coaching staff down on the nose, I can say, down in the technical zone are going to be a model of professionalism. Listen, we hope they are. Brandon and I have obviously spoken a lot about the lot to the coaches around this. I think it's fair to say, Brandon, that the coaches are fully on board with this. They really, really like it in terms of putting the power back in the referees. But yes, the flag aspect is obviously something new to rugby, probably not just American sport, but obviously they're used to it in other aspects of it. But from a rugby side of it, this is new to us. But the team challenge is ultimately for where the referees have missed something. Again, mm-hmm. if we go back to the very, very start of this and where Brandon said to be reverse engineered, look at it, go back to where you want it to be and the referees, the power in the referees' hands, then, of course, I ask myself the question, well, what happens if they miss something? Mm-hmm. Right. You know, what happens if they miss something? Which happens? I mean, the referees are human and they will make mistakes and they will misread things and they will get things wrong. But we don't want those mistakes to impact the integrity of the game or the result. So we obviously then went into the review, into the team challenge side of things.
So let me ask this functionally, will there be one designated individual that's responsible in the technical zone from each side to make that challenge or post a challenge? Can the captain initiate it? Just if you guys could just talk a little bit about functionally what fans might see, not only sitting at home watching their TV, but perhaps on the sidelines as well. What would their experience be with that component?
Yeah, I'll step in here for a second. I'll let you talk about the nuts and bolts of this, but remember too, with something like this, we have to be honoring essentially three parties. You know, the referee, the people in the stadium, and then the spectators on TV. So the flat, we thought about everything. Like we thought about a police light across the crossbar. We thought, like, how can we light up the crossbars? You know, there was we even were like, all right, how ridiculous can we get? Can we use fireworks for this? We were prepared to see whatever, because there has to be some kind of visual representation that something is occurring.
How about a designated streaker, Sparksy?
See, we considered that. We talked to Noodle Bags. We wanted to see if they had a challenge by a smuggler that we could have a fan of the game wear, but no.
Perfect sponsorship opportunity, a streaker with the pudgy smuggler.
Yeah. So yeah, like the flag just made the most sense, and it doesn't mean that maybe in 2027 it doesn't change, but in 2026, and like guys, we thought about this, like we have a challenge statement, like we can't have teams wasting time, and one thing that I don't think Wilco will talk about, but I think is really critical to call out in this whole process is this was trialed before in the Rainbow Cup, and it wasn't well received and it didn't work. And when we started talking about this, everybody's like, oh, it doesn't work. And to like, to again, to Wilco's credit, he was like, okay, well, it didn't work there. It doesn't mean that it doesn't work. Maybe we just haven't found a way to make it work yet. So like, we did go back and looked at all the reasons why it didn't work and then applied those lessons learned to hopefully something that does work. So that's just my piece on that. I'll let Wilco talk through the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah, listen, having been back in Ireland at the time when Rainbow Cup happened during COVID, the scope of the captain's challenge was, it was ultimately endless. And it actually created more stoppages because captains were coming up for challenging for, you know, the wind blowing the wrong way. I remember one incident where a captain challenged because he felt that the scrum half kicked the ball back into the ruck. Like, as he was picking up the ball to pass it, the ball touched his foot and he felt that this was a legitimate challenge. So we had to go through that whole review. So, it did get ridiculous. And I understand the sentiment that it didn't work. But we were like, well, okay, if we're going down this referee review system, referees are human. They will miss something. We don't want that to impact the result of the game. So somehow, some way, we have got to make a sort of a team challenge work. It's obviously up in your graphic there in terms of two phases. We've basically broken it down into two aspects. If you score a try and a team want to challenge that the try should not have been scored, there we go. Perfect. Thank you very much. Or conversely, the try was disallowed for some reason. We're only going back, as I said here, two phases. And we can get into the real, real, real weeds of it here for those of you who want to get, and anybody who does, please contact me around the difference between two phases and tackles only and rocks, et cetera, et cetera. I'm more than happy to have that real, real in-depth law discussion. But this is a pretty simple diagram. Ball comes out of a ruck. We have another ruck. We have another ruck. We have a try. So basically, a team can challenge a try that should have been scored or was scored incorrectly based on these 2/3 phases, whichever way you want to use your terminology. So that's one aspect of it, is the try side. Then the other aspect, and again, rule number one, 101 of refereeing, the first thing you learn when you do your level one referee course, player safety is paramount. So then we look into the foul play side of things. And we looked at the foul play and we've gone whistle to whistle. So from the referee calls crouch at a scrum to the ball goes into touch 2.5 minutes later. So that foul play aspect it's a real big one because we want to get the foul play out of the game. It is serious. It's player welfare. So that's why it obviously the time span in terms of either minutes or phases of play, whichever way you want to look at it, is much, much greater. So that can be challenged by a team, again, and by the referees. So foul play is whistle to whistle. And try scoring situations are within two phases. That's ultimately where we came up to. But again, back to the team challenge, whether it's foul play or tries, we wanted to be able to give teams, quite rightly, given the technology is there, we wanted to be able to use it. So we looked at, and Brandon mentioned it, we looked at DRS and cricket, we looked at Hawkeye and tennis, we looked at the ice hockey, we looked at NFL, we looked at VAR and Premier League soccer in England, we looked at rugby league. I mean, we really did do an extensive sort of exhaustive, basically trying to steal the best bits of all the other systems, I'll be perfectly honest. And this is what we've come up with. Is it going to be the finished article? We hope so. But that's, we're not also naive enough to think that this isn't going to need tweaks as we go along. But we think we're pretty damn well along the way.
Well, I hope you guys could come back at the end of the season and kind of debrief this with us. and tell us, like, you know, this is what worked, this is what we feel didn't work. Not that we would expect you guys to have an answer to change it, you know, at that point, but just to maybe just talk about, hey, you know, we had those, you know, 106 of those plays, and we lowered that number from a 90% incorrect to a 60%. So we know that we're kind of on the right track, just some type of thing. Cause I know you guys are going to be doing a ton of metrics on this.
Yeah. And guys too, like I think rugby has a bit of an innovation problem and a change problem. And we are committed to like reviewing this bi-weekly, if not weekly, around like what's working, what's not working. And we've been transparent with the teams and the organizations that if we feel it's not working and it's hurting the game or it's hurting these players and coaches' opportunities to win games, then we'll explore better options. Wilco said it perfectly. We're not naive enough to think that this is perfect and we're some of geniuses. We're probably both of us are probably just really comfortable with failure that we can use it to learn fast to create something that works overall for the betterment of the game of rugby in America.
Well, and I think as long as you keep in mind the core beliefs, the core values of what the system is designed to achieve, it'll be a continuation of a process that will get better and better and better as long as you stay committed to it and keep those core beliefs and values at its heart. And that is, again, for people that need to be reminded, accuracy, timeliness, and transparency. I want to ask a little bit about consistency, Wilco, real quick, because I know this is going to be one of your probably biggest charges during the course of the season. In the white papers that were shared with us, one of the components was there is the desire to get more consistency. And I'm going to poke holes in this just because we know TMO, and I'm curious on your perspective here. So TMO, you had somebody in the studio 2,000 kilometers away, as you said, and they're making a call, and across, you know, 4, 5, or 6 matches on the weekend, you probably have one or two of those people making all of those TMO decisions, right? Seems like it's pretty with one person or two people, it's easier to get some consistency. Here you're having the man or woman in the middle across 3 matches on the weekend, 3 different ones making the call. How are you going to try to achieve a more consistent approach to this RRS system?
Super question. Really, really good question. First and foremost, referees are referees in MLR for a reason. The 8 or 9 referees that we're going into in 2026 are the 8 or 9 top referees in the whole of North America. So they are the best of the best. We will be supplementing that with a couple of exchanges, etc., as we do as we build relationships with other unions. But simply put, they are the best. So if they are the best, they are consistent. If we compare that to where we were last season, where we had a much greater pool of referees and we had a much greater pool of TMOs, and bear in mind, when we go back to last year's system with TMO and referee, you had 2 decision makers. So for every single game across 95 matches last season, we had 2 decision makers. So now we've got 1 decision maker. So although you may challenge me, and quite rightly, Rob, around, well, Wilco, your job now is pretty tough to get consistency across your 8 or 9 referees, and you're dead right. My response is, that's much easier for me to get consistency across 9 referees as it was across to get 25 match officials, which I was trying to do last season.
Gotcha. Okay, I love it. I think this is a really good, and ultimately I think it's going to be it's a positive step in the right direction. And ultimately, I think while it's not going to be perfect initially, I think, you know, a commitment to it by the league, by ownership, by officials, by coaches, and players, captains, it's going to get better and better and better as we go on. One question that I have, because Sparks, you talked a little bit about it, and again, you might be able to speak to this, although we don't really have somebody that's on the production end that's represented here. What are fans?
I hate to break it to you guys, but Wilco and I are pseudo experts at this point. So yeah, just dangerous enough to tell you a good acronym about broadcast. So yeah.
So functionally, what are fans at home and what are fans in the stadium going to hear when there is a review of a particular play or a particular phase, whether it be through the first one, which is initiated by the official in the middle or one of the ARs, or through the, you know, team review?
Oh, guys, I could gush about this part of like Lucas Reed and Graham Bradbury deserve a ton of credit. Maggleby as well too, as he's walking into the captain's pilot house. They went out and they found a very innovative production partner with OS Studios that's come in with a ton of expertise. They have a wealth of experience in web broadcasting, esports, other like basketball. They did the NBA through the bubble. And it's been phenomenal to have that resource there to go back and say, hey, listen, we're having this problem. What do you think we can do? They've come back with a new mic system. That mic system is going to be able to make the referee clear. You'll be able to hear that referee in the game as well as during the broadcast. So you'll be able to hear the actual interaction between the player and the captain or the coach or whoever's initiating the challenge. You'll be here to be able to the ARs and them talking through the replay as well as being able to hear the replay official. Or the in-stadium replay operator. So yeah, the new broadcast partner's been phenomenal in this. They've upgraded a lot of this stuff that we know is important to supporters having access to the game, like being able to hear what the referee is saying, which, you know, it feels like it's basic, but we've got to nail it and we've got to get it right, especially if we only have three games every weekend.
I just wanted to pick up on what Brandon said around what our bosses have done in terms of resourcing this, in terms with OS and the ref mic. Fans will actually now be able to actually watch it on TV, but actually put in their AirPods, click on a link on their phone, and just listen to the referee.
Oh, I was going there. That's what I was going to ask about.
If they don't want to listen to Rob Hammersmith commentate, they can just listen to Derek Summers talk refereeing.
Hey. Yeah.
Everybody loves my silky voice, my friend.
Of course. But actually, all you're going to say, I mean, it would have been called RefLink in Europe, and I actually think it's a really good innovation by the league as well. And again, huge credit to Lucas Reed in terms of driving this. I think you know, to give fans that different option, to give that fans that education experience in terms of what the referee is saying, because we know TV turns it up and turns it down, and rightly so. But actually, some diehard rugby fans might just want to listen to the ref mic and listen to how the game's unfolding from the referee perspective 100%. On what's going on. Yeah. And that facility is now going to be available in 2026 as well.
I mean, when you think about, and I'm coming at this from a guy in Chicago who's watching the Bears implode in terms of their stadium deal and stadium development. But when I think about as a fan, like, would I rather go to an NFL football game in stadium or watch it from the comfort of my home, especially deep into December and January? And I go, nah, I'll stay at home. Thanks. I've got a pretty good view, especially with, you know, big screen TVs and everything else. But the idea that I can sit in stadium and listen to this on my phone and hear what officials are talking about, ARs and officials are talking about as they review a particular play, I mean, that enhances the in-stadium experience so much for fans or for what's the term, Sparksy? For
supporters.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Supporters, that I love it. And it's the kind of innovation that I believe rugby needs and wants as we move forward closer to 2027 and then 2031 in the United States.
And remember, guys, like, Mags talks about storytelling all the time. And every week we get to tell three stories, and those three stories are 80 minutes long. And if you want a good story, you need to be able to to reveal characters and plots and plot twists and where, you know, where's the climax of the story and the conclusion and all of that stuff is already playing out on TV. But if we can pull back a few more layers to give people a more immersive experience, then we've done a good job in the 2026 season.
It's amazing. Amazing. I love it. Scott, I mean, you got to be excited about this too, right?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. And the whole point, you know, talking about the innovation of listening to it in the stadium is awesome. You know, one of the things I always had an issue with was when the call was on the field, I'd be texting a buddy who's watching it on television saying, hey, what did they call, but what are they talking about? Like, what was the conversation around it from the commentator side? Or if they were talking, you know, if they heard the official talking, hey, what was that being said? Because obviously the officials are you know, doing their hand signals, mm-hmm. and you could usually catch them, you know, pretty easily. But sometimes it's that conversation that you were missing. So this is great that, you know, we have this innovation now to go there.
And you know what's funny, Scott, is being on the sideline and being mic'd into the production, I was always privy to those conversations. So I always caught myself frequently and, yeah, I am biased here in Chicago. I'd often say to Wags, hey, I think they're going to give a yellow here, you know, whichever way it was going to go. And given the fact that he wasn't privy to those conversations, you know, that was valuable for him. But now even more valuable, he's going to get that, or he can get it, or somebody can get it from the team in real time as this story is emerging, as Spark said. Absolutely. So I'm excited about this. This is a game changer, gentlemen. In my opinion. So what a great stroke. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you guys got together 10 months ago and really began working hard and digging into this. And I hope that no matter how it develops over the course of the season, that you guys are continuously go back and retool and committed to making this a really enhanced part of the game. It's genius stuff right there. So
yeah, it's been a roller coaster, Rob. There's been no doubt. I think it's fair to say sometimes Brandon pushes me and sometimes I push Brandon. So I think we work well together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always nice to know that when you're having sleepless nights about things like this,
somebody else is.
Well, Coach and Ireland having the same thing.
Yeah. I just know he's 6 hours ahead of me. So it's been a really good partnership and truthfully, Wilco and I do owe a lot to Graham Bradbury because Graham has done a really good job of giving us the space to be like, all right, you two rugby nerds, come at me with whatever crazy ideas you have. And, you know, he asks a really good question. He never starts with no or tells us that this is a bad idea. But the courage as a leader to be able to do that in a startup market like rugby in America, like he deserves some credit in this as well, too. A lot of credit in this as well. So.
Right. And by the way, not for nothing, like, and don't get me wrong, everybody's bemoaning what happened in the offseason with the contraction of the league. But I think we can find some hidden gems out of this and ultimately take away a lot of valuable elements. And there are going to be numerous as the season unfolds in my mind. But one of them is this, you know, with 12 teams, you potentially may have some owners that kick back on it. But when you're a little bit leaner, a little bit meaner, a little bit more focused and dialed in, ultimately you can do things like this that lead to a much better product overall for supporters.
Yeah. And I hope that somebody's watching this and they leave here at least feeling good that there's two people that are interacting every day with the product on the field that like genuinely care. Like we have a high give a shit meter. I don't know if you want to add an explicit tag to this, you can, but that's one of Lucas's favorite sayings is like, we both have a very high meter in that regards. And I hope that it shows with the transparency that we've given you, but B, with the passion that we're talking about.
Yeah. I see an MLR meme or a new MLR t-shirt that can be sold in stadiums across the United States. The give a shit meter at the bottom of, you know, a big pile of, you know, a big pile and then a meter that's going to 11.
So, that and the Valentine's card I sent you. So yeah. Right.
Or you gotta sell the shirts that say I'm the ISRO. That's your right. Those are the shirts to wear in the stadium.
Right. A picture of Sparks. I have a high give a shit meter, and then below there's the meter. So there we go. And I will be sending out the Valentine's Day card as a reminder. So nevertheless, gentlemen, I deeply and sincerely appreciate, Scott and I do, that you were able to join, especially David. I know you're on short rest here, so hopefully you can get some sleep here and get your proper rest so you can get back to the grind tomorrow. But I really want to thank you guys for coming on and sharing your experiences and your hard work with the fans of the MLR. Just the pure fact that you guys were willing to come on tells me a lot about how much you deeply care about the supporters and fans that are out there, making sure that their rugby needs are being met, their concerns are being met, and that somebody is looking out for them and what they care about. Thank you so much, gentlemen. It's been so great, so knowledgeable. I just love it. I can't thank you guys enough.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure, Rob. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, Scott. And look forward to talking later in the season.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, hopefully we could do like a debrief and you can kind of give us a little bit of a rundown of how you think it went and 100%. Go forward and good luck with the new process. And we're rooting for it and we're excited for it. And you have two fans right now who are very happy with the innovation.
Supporters, Scott, supporters.
Yeah, supporters, fans.
We'll make a deal with you guys if all goes well. You guys come out to the championship games in Chicago this year.
I'll be there.
You guys bring the mics. Yeah, you guys bring the mics. We'll bring the beers and we'll do a debrief podcast, roundtable style. So.
Perfect. I love that.
Deal. I'm holding you to it.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, guys, fans, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And this is one of those episodes we love to do because it's interesting. It's kind of outside of our normal stuff, and we're getting some insight into the league that we wouldn't normally have. So we really appreciate it, fans. Catch us all on all of our social media platforms. Hit that like button, smash that follow button. And I'm the big guy, Scott Farrar. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt with two of the big wigs from the MLR. And that's the end of this episode. We'll see you guys next week.